Forgiveness. Talk a little bit about it this morning as we wrap up. The monsters are going away after today. So final installment of our monster series. So will you pray with me on this morning? Father, we thank you for your presence here today. We recognize it. We know that you're here. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for forgiving us. For it is out of that love and forgiveness that we ourselves learn how to love and forgive. And Lord, as we talk this morning, may you cause the words to come off the page and penetrate our hearts and our minds. That we would learn behavior and actions to practice as we follow Christ. And when I think about the incredible cost of forgiveness, and I think about my debt, and yet you have forgiven me. Lord, when I think about the injustices and the challenges and the misunderstandings and the wrongs, well, they pale in comparison to the sum of the debt. And so continue to remind us of the incredible cost of the forgiveness that we know. I recognize that today that we're going to touch on some hard issues. And I recognize that maybe for some it will bring up issues and things in the past. But Lord, I pray that today would be a day of overcoming in Jesus' name. That there would be renewal, that there would be freedom experienced, and that actually be true forgiveness dispensed. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for loving us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We've looked at a couple of monsters over the past couple of weeks. We've looked at the me monster and about loving more. We've looked at the stingy monster about giving more. We looked at the fear monster, literally about trusting more. And today, we are looking at the grudge monster that has to do with forgiveness and learning to forgive more. One of the number one regrets in life that people experience or stress as they near the December years of their life is that they wished, as they look back on their life, they wished that they would have forgiven more. That as they look at the value of the relationships and the people and the experiences in life, that they wish they would have forgiven more, that they could enjoy the experiences, enjoy the people that were in their life. I'm going to do a survey here and find out. And I'm going to name three names, and I promise this isn't a bad joke, okay? So you know how they saw, talk about a Baptist and a Jewish guy and whatever, go in a room and all that kind of stuff. And so you think, oh, it's bad joke time. But how many know the name Richard Nixon? I said it's not a bad joke, okay? It's okay. Richard Nixon. How many of you heard of the name Jesse Jackson? How many of you heard of the name Hubert Humphrey? Pretty good. I'm impressed. We know our history a little bit. Some of you would know that Hubert Humphrey was a senator. He was also a vice president, also ran for president on a couple of occasions, one coming very close to the White House when he ran against Richard Nixon. Well, it's an interesting story as Hubert Humphrey was on his last days near his deathbed. It's told that Hubert Humphrey made a phone call to Richard Nixon. The press got a little bit of wind of that, and so there was some discussion about that. Well, what happened was that Jesse Jackson went to visit Hubert Humphrey when he was in the hospital. And he asked him this question. He said, "I heard that you called Richard Nixon." Why? They had ran a pretty heated, contested battle for the White House. This was after Watergate. And so there was still some animosity or perceived bad blood there between the two. And in that conversation, Hubert Humphrey makes this reply. He said, "Jesse, from this vantage point, with the sun setting in my life, all of the speeches, the political conventions, the crowds, and the great fights are behind me now. At a time like this, you are forced to deal with your irreducible essence, forced to grapple with that which is really important to you. And what I have concluded about life, that when all is said and done, is that we must forgive each other and redeem each other, and then to move on. Forgiveness. Learning to forgive. This week's monster is this good-looking puffball with mean eyes. It's the grudge monster. And as you look at the grudge monster, you can see he's kind of puffed up, disheveled, and those glaring eyes and those eyebrows that look at you with anger and resentment and despise. We all know this monster. Maybe it was somebody that did something, or we did something too. Maybe it's somebody that did something to us. Either we were the monster or somebody else was. And yet when we think about the grudge monster, it is this attitude, this spirit, this disposition, this behavior of resentfulness and blame that we place upon another person and do not release them from. When we talk about forgiveness, forgiveness is literally about taking a step. It's about the ability to literally forgive. And the idea is that we begin to move past the hurt and we genuinely, genuinely desire what's best for the individual that's hurt us. And so today we talk about this grudge monster. And maybe it's a good thing that we look right in Scripture about this grudge monster and what the Bible has to say about the grudge monster. And Jesus actually teaches about the grudge monster. As you look in Matthew chapter 18, there's a whole chapter that literally deals a little bit with forgiveness in different perspectives. But the part that we are most interested in begins in verse 21. And it's a question that Peter gives to Jesus. And it says that he came to him and said, this is Peter, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" In other words, he's trying to put a limit on the amount of forgiveness that he's to express to his brother. Who is his brother? His brother could be flesh and blood. His brother could be a friend. His brother most likely are believers. They're Christians. And I know this is really hard to believe. But Christians never get upset with other Christians, do they? Never, never. And so he's talking about brothers. He's talking about followers, disciples. "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" And as many as seven times. And he's feeling pretty good about this because really the rabbinical principle was that you only had to forgive somebody three times. So he's feeling pretty good. Double the amount, seven times. But Jesus says to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. What Jesus says is that forgiveness is limitless. There is no limit on forgiveness. And so Jesus takes this moment and he teaches a parable where he says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, the master ordered him to be sold with his wife, his children, and all that he had, and the proceeds would be the payment that would be made. And so the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I'll pay you back everything.' And out of pity," and pivotal verse here, "out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave his debt." That's powerful. He was held captive. Not only did he release him and let him go, but he didn't have to go and try to make the money in order to pay back the debt. He released him from the debt. He forgave the debt. And so that's a powerful piece in the story. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is a teeny tiny portion as compared to what he just had forgiven. And seizing him, He began to choke him. The idea was he found the guy and grabbed him by the arm as to secure him and then turned him around and literally choked him, placing both of his hands around his neck. And as he is choking him, he is saying to him, pay what you owe. And this other fellow servant to this servant that had been forgiven so much pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. But he refused. And when he put him to prison and till he could pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then the master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all of his debt. And so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. What Jesus is teaching is that it is almost inconceivable for a people who have been forgiven so much to not be able to forgive just a little. And when I think about this grudge monster and categorize him in painting a portrait and a picture of him, these are some of the things that come to mind. You see, when the grudge monster moves in, when the grudge monster kind of takes control, it means that we have lost sight of, or we've chosen to forget, or we are ignoring the incredible debt that we have incurred and yet has been forgiven for us. It's like we're oblivious to the fact that we've had this huge debt and this huge debt has been paid, that Christ paid this debt for us. As a Christ follower, as somebody that's been born again, that's a believer, see what's happened is Christ has forgiven you all of your sin, all of your debt, and he's paid all of that debt for you. We no longer owe that debt. And the reality is that we are all, and I know this is like Baptist church and you expect to hear this sometimes, but the reality is we are all sinners. And you know, there's one thing we're really good at, and that's sinning. Well, we have this huge, vast allotment of sins, of debt, that Christ has paid for us. Just read Romans chapter 3 to get an example picture of debt. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Even Paul quotes about the fact that there's nothing righteous in us. And yet, Christ paid our sin debt. He forgave us this huge, incredible sum. How dare we not forgive just a small portion? Do you know what happens when we begin to ignore and forget about what Christ did for us? Is we lose sight on gratitude. See, it's out of gratitude for what Christ did for us that we ourselves want to do the same for others, that because we have experienced forgiveness, we ourselves want to forgive or desire to forgive someone else for something they've done to us. And so when the grudge monster moves in, we just kind of lose sight on all that Christ did for us, all that God did for us. And ungratefulness, ungratitude moves in. And then what happens, kind of the next piece of the character sketch, is we begin to think that we're owed something. Even though we're owed nothing, we somehow feel that our rights or our person have been trampled on, and somehow we're owed something and we should receive something. And so resentment sets in. We set and try to go after somebody. We try to literally do harm to somebody. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you know, think about it. Have you ever had an evil thought towards somebody? Like, maybe they'd hurt themselves? Or they'd get sick? Or somebody did the same thing to them? Or we start touting karma? You know, we start believing in it, you know, wanting it? Nah. See, when the grudge monster comes in, we forget all that Christ has done for us. and need to be reminded of this parable of the merciful servant. But then we begin to have this feeling that it's owed to us. I got to get my due. You owe a debt to me because of what you've done to me, and so you I deserve better. Let me tell you something else in this character sketch. That literally the behavior of unforgiveness distresses people around you. When the grudge monster steps in and you begin to act this way and think this way and try to do some of these things to get back at people in retribution, it distresses people around you. They get all upset and distressed. You know, that distresses me. I tell you, seriously, for me it does. When I have two friends that are bickering at each other, one did something wrong to the other and the other's going to get them back and they're not talking to each other and all this kind of stuff, do you like being around those people? No. It distresses you. See, this is what's so interesting is the people in the parable that Jesus is teaching, they saw that this servant had been forgiven this huge, huge debt, and yet he couldn't go out and just simply forgive just a small portion, a small, small injustice. He couldn't forgive. The people in the story knew that this man had been forgiven much. Their anticipation was because he'd been forgiven much that he would also forgive much. And when he didn't, and he went and choked the guy, and you owe me this, and you need to pay me back, and I'm throwing you, it distressed all the people around him. It's distressing. But I tell you maybe the piece of the portrait that's maybe the most significant here. Not just forgetting what Christ has done for us. Not about this attitude of you owe me. Or not the fact that I'm causing distress with everybody around me. But the fact that you've designed the prison that you've chose to live in. Anytime that grudge monster moves in, you end up choosing the prison that you're going to live in. Just as this man had been forgiven much and forgiven everything and steps out, what happens is he ends up back in prison. And this is what happens when we choose not to forgive. When we have been forgiven much, but we choose to forgive little, we choose to live in the prison of unforgiveness. And it is a horrible place to reside. Because it is a place of bitterness. It's a place of unresolve. It's a place of pain. See, that's what happens when the grudge monster comes in, steps up to the forefront. But the question is, how do we defeat this grudge monster? How do we take steps in order to defeat this grudge monster? Lots of things that we can do, lots of steps that we can take. One of the steps that comes to mind that I think of in defeating the grudge monster is we need to recognize that I am not perfect and you are not perfect, and that's why Jesus came. We need to realize that I can't expect you to be perfect. You can't expect me to be perfect. And that's all right. We're going to do things and say things and act certain ways. And see, when we realize that our expectation for each other is not perfection, somehow the imperfections roll off our back. The forgiveness is so much easier to give. But see, I also think about the giving of grace, because we have experienced grace, we ourselves give out grace. Because of the forgiveness that we know from Christ, we want to forgive. And so part of that is beginning the process of making the decision to choose to forgive. To choose to forgive. And it doesn't mean I feel like I can forgive, but I choose to forgive. I choose grace, I choose compassion, I choose mercy in order to dispense on another. What it also means is that I'm willing to take the first step towards love. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 talks to us about love. And what I find interesting about love is that love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers a multitude of sin. Our encouragement is that we keep loving one another earnestly from the hearts, but love covers a multitude of sin. That means it satisfies, it covers over a lot of wrongs. I think today that we've got to do something with the grudge monster. We've got to start defeating him and kicking him out rather than giving him space in our life. And maybe the application is best shared in this video clip of what it means to forgive and how we do that. Catch this out for a minute. We are all people with a sign. Each of us wears a sign this morning. Maybe it was the fact that you were injured. Maybe it was the fact that you were hurt from something or someone. But the reality is you have a choice about this. There is a new story, a new hope for you. And you can choose to forgive. As people of a sign, we live on one side or the other. The question is, which side of the sign do you live on? Do you live on the side of unforgiveness, or do you live on the side of forgiveness? As people of a sign, we have a choice. But I want to strongly encourage you to be people of the other side of the sign. To be people of the other side and to literally give and to practice forgiveness. It begins with a choice. The choice is yours. As someone who has been forgiven much, you have the opportunity to forgive little. As someone that is a child of God and realizes that we own nothing but all is His, and we recognize that we're not owed anything from anyone. But most of all, we could choose not to live in the prison of unforgiveness, but to choose the freedom of forgiveness. If you were to write a sign today, what would your story be? But how would you end the story? Choose to be a person of the other side. Choose to realize that we're imperfect people, but we have a perfect God. Realize that forgiveness is available, and He will give you power and strength to overcome and to forgive. You will have the strength to give compassion. You will have the strength to give grace. You will have the strength to give mercy. You choose to love because it covers multitude of sins and imperfections. Be people of the other side. Will you pray with me? Father, when we consider forgiveness this morning and this monster of the grudge, I realize this morning that there are folks in this room that are dealing with things of the past, even things current. And Lord, just the topic of forgiveness has brought up a wealth of emotions and a wealth of the past. And Lord, I realize that today, that when it is surrendered to you, that you can give strength and power to overcome. That you will honor the choice to forgive, that you will honor the choice to love. That we would be people of the other side. There's a new story to be written on hurt. There's a new story to be written after sin. Father, thank you for grace today and for forgiveness. May you grant us the strength today to forgive as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, a time of invitation. It's truly kind of an altar call that perhaps God is speaking to you about, just about life and what's going on. See, the most important thing that you can do today, you may have some garbage in life that you need to forgive and you need to deal with people on, but it starts with knowing Christ and having a personal relationship with Him, because when you have experienced Christ and know Christ, you've chosen to follow Him and you trust Him by faith, He forgives you. When you ask Him to forgive you, He forgives you. When you repent, literally, you're choosing His path and His way. You're choosing Him. When you choose to follow Christ, trust Him. Man, He cleanses you from all the past, all the garbage, all the junk. You now know forgiveness. And the ability for us to forgive begins with having known forgiveness in Him. And as we experience that forgiveness, we ourselves are able to forgive. Don't go out of here trying to forgive without knowing Christ first. Know His forgiveness and forgive out of that today. So if you have never placed your faith and trust in Christ, you've never chosen to follow Him, but God's just kind of speaking to you this morning. I mean, that's the thing, like, man, trust me, follow me, choose me. That's Him speaking to you, man, follow Him. So I'm going to encourage you, man, we're going to be standing and singing and a lot of stuff going on, man. Just come to the front, find me up here in the front during the time we're singing and standing, and simply say, today I want to trust Christ. Would you pray with me? Can somebody tell me what I need to do? And we'll do that with you this morning. It's the most important decision to make today. Others, God is speaking to you about being a part of a church family. Maybe you've been visiting around for a while, checking out churches and seeing what's going on, and maybe you've never filled out a guest list. Maybe you've filled it out 1,000 times. I don't know, but the thing is, you've been here and you're just not yet connected. I encourage you. Every Christian ought to be a part of a local church and ought to be engaged in a local church. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, being in Bible study, ministry, and developing relationships with each other. And that's key to our growth. It's key to our formation in faith. So maybe you've just been kind of thinking about it, and God's just saying, no, this is where I want you to be. I mean, you keep coming back here week after week after week. And there's a reason. It's calling you here. So this morning, you come as we stand and sing. God's speaking to you about identifying with Cool Spring. You come this morning. And you know, maybe just as an act of obedience, maybe you've got this huge thing that you've got to deal with, this person or this issue to forgive. And you just don't know how you're going to do it. Maybe as an act of obedience, maybe simply to come forward this morning and kneel at the front during the time of the invitation and just give it to Him. Say, Lord, it's beyond me. I hate them. I hate this. Well, I can't forgive that. But I know I'm supposed to. I don't want to live in a prison of unforgiveness anymore. Maybe it starts just by the act of obedience to confessing it before the Lord and surrendering it to Him. You can do that too. Just come up and pray and go back to your seat. You can do that right where you'll be standing in a minute. But you really need to be writing your story on the other side of the sign. So would you stand with me this morning? Man, we're going to sing. Man, this is a powerful little chorus. Glenn, I appreciate this one too. I mean, it's a powerful little chorus. Let's sing. You come as God leads this morning. You come.